Let's mix it up a little bit. Some NFL, some Pac-12, one of our all-time fave guests, always repping the 201 in Jersey, analyst for the NFL Network. Pac-12 on Sirius XM Radio. On Twitter, use the handle at Mike_Yam. Mike Yam, always appreciate your time. How are you getting along during these most unique times?
You know, we're not quite at March, but I think the phrase survive in advance definitely is still appropriate. So that's how I would answer that question. But look, I mean, at the end of the day, Steve, we got a game this weekend that I actually think is going to be absolutely terrific, and even casual fans are going to be entertained. I just think we're going to get a ton of points scored. It's Brady, it's Mahomes. I mean, like, what else would you imagine getting in a clash of titans here?
I was on your Twitter feed, and I saw you got to host this panel discussion with a couple of Hall of Famers, Ronnie Lott, Charles Haley. It's the Haley Lott program, focus, on the mental anguish, not only the pandemic has caused, but the challenges in general. What was that all about?
You know, it was awesome, and I appreciate you bringing it up because it was just an awesome experience for me. You know, last week I was all excited, Steve, because here in the Bay Area, there's, on last Thursday, they just sort of slowly reopened some things. We have like outdoor dining and, things like that. And it was my first haircut in a really long time inside the actual, place that I go. So I'm in the car and I'm like in the best mood ever because, it's all about the little things right now. And Ronnie gives me a buzz and says, "Hey, Mike, how are things going?" And we start, catching up. And he said, "Hey, I need a favor. Could you moderate something for me next week?" I was like, "Yeah, done. Like, what do you need?" And then he started telling me what the project was, and Charles Haley, obviously the 9 Super Bowls between those two guys and all of those rings, and they brought their rings, or at least Charles did, to the session today. But Charles has been really vocal about a diagnosis and a battle with bipolar disorder, and just sort of some crazy stories. So Ronnie and Charles wanted to sort of shed a light on what's happening, and with the help of Cisco, we got a couple physicians on the panel, and I mean, some of the stories were incredible. I knew Charles has bipolar disorder, but I didn't realize the extent and some of the struggles that he's gone through in his life. I mean, he was telling us a story when he was 14. He tried to commit suicide and, had a gun to his head and, he shot it. And, it sounds weird. I guess the kickback, like, he missed and the bullet went into the wall. And at that point, he's like, kind of this literal coming to Jesus moment where he's asking God, like, "Hey, give me the skills. Let me be good at something." Fast forward, obviously, he's one of the all-time great NFL players as a Hall of Famer. But, that's just sort of the tip of the iceberg. But it was a super insightful conversation. It was available for free for everyone. I know there's going to be, the entire one-hour session is going to be posted at a later date. So I'll make sure that, I put it on my social feed, and I'm sure Ronnie and Charles will as well.
Yeah, these guys, when they talk about this, the ultimate tough guys, it really helps. It makes a lot of people think, if them, then it's okay with me to talk about it. I also saw you had Jeff Schwartz, obviously a former Duck and NFLer on the Pac-12 radio show. He's obviously a high-level offensive lineman. So what did he have to say about fellow Duck Penei Sewell, his NFL prospects, and if, in fact, it looks like he's going to be the first Pac-12 player off the board?
Yeah, I would be shocked if he wasn't the first Pac-12 player that's going to be taken in the NFL draft. And I think there's an opportunity for him. And I think there's a few teams, depending on what the Jets want to do. I think Joe Burrow would love to have a guy like Penei Sewell up in front, sort of protecting his backside. There's no doubt. But, Jeff has raved about him. And to your point, this is a guy who did it, obviously, in a Ducks uniform and then did it at the NFL level. And, sometimes he goes through some of the breakdowns. Lord knows. I mean, Steve, you and I have been around a lot of football guys. The offensive linemen, these guys just geek out on technique and some of the subtleties that we just don't pick up on a lot of times, especially when you're watching games live, from a TV angle. But Jeff has just raved about his footwork, all the things that he can do. We've seen that the last couple of years, and unfortunately not this past season. But, when he was in that Ducks uniform, my God, I don't know if there was a bigger threat to defenses in terms of trying to make sure that you couldn't get to Justin Herbert. I think the number, I had tweeted this a while ago when he had decided, Steve, I don't even want to misquote it, but it was like an ungodly amount of snaps without giving up a sack. I mean, it was like an unheard of number. I couldn't even, I tweeted it because I was just amazed by the fact that that was actually the case. But Penei Sewell is going to be an absolute monster on Sundays.
You know, the Pac-12 going through one of those periods, I guess, perception-wise, that it's viewed as down. UCLA is the only ranked team in basketball. They've only been to the college football playoff twice, not in 5 years. But with the recent results on in recruiting, you got Oregon 5th, USC among the top 10. So reason for optimism that the league might be on the rise, and with the understanding that the results will come on the field.
Oh, man, Steve, from your lips to God's ears, let's get this going here, because you're right. The league has got a perception problem, and it's been a perception problem the last couple of years. And unfortunately, there has just been a lack of success, and it really stems around the lack of teams in the college football playoff. And I think the buzzkill is, can you imagine how different this conversation, Steve, we'd be having right now if Oregon had gone down to Tempe 2 years ago and taken care of business, because they smashed Utah, a team that was in that conversation for a playoff spot in the Pac-12 championship game. I think you're 100% right. The recruiting, especially by Oregon and Mario Cristobal, that staff has been amazing. And the fact that Mario is saying this is his best class that he has signed, that's saying something, because there's some dudes that he's brought in the last couple of years. But you're right. Obviously SC has done a nice job in this cycle. For years, the league has preached parity, and as a guy that worked at Pac-12 Network, it was highly entertaining to not know who was going to win a lot of these games, because literally on any Saturday, you could get results that were just crazy, and the finishes were wild. The problem was, and this is something that we had talked about on SiriusXM Radio for the last couple of years, and that's this idea, parity is all well and good during the regular season, but it's the last thing you want from a playoff perspective, because now everything is geared towards, who the teams are in the college football playoff. And Steve, right now, I could ask you give me three of the four teams that are going to be in next year's playoff. You could probably tell me with a high degree of accuracy three of the four teams.
Right.
And I can guarantee you not one of them is going to be from the Pac-12 conference. And I think that's the uphill battle right now that this league has in terms of trying to get a team over the hump. And it's not just about getting there, although that's definitely step one. But how far is this league from winning a national championship? And I think for me, the recruiting side of things is so valuable. And if Mario continues to bring in this type of talent, to me, give me a look at the ACC. Give me the Clemson out on the West Coast if that means that this league gets respect. And I don't have to watch ESPN and listen to, commentators, whether Turkford or anyone else, talking about the American Conference having more clout and more respect nationally than the Pac-12. And by the way, those guys aren't wrong when they say that. It's just the reality is, this league has just been fighting an uphill battle. And I've said it numerous times to you, the wins that are big in this league don't seem to be as meaningful as big wins in other leagues, but the losses in this conference seem to be magnified to a higher degree than losses for other teams in Power 5 conferences.
Talking with Mike Yam, Pac-12 Radio on SiriusXM, NFL Network. You also got to talk with Earl Watson, a former Bruin, four-year starter on three Steve Lavin Sweet 16 teams, had a great NBA career. So what's his read on this current UCLA team now, just year two under Mick Cronin?
He loves what Mick has been able to accomplish. And, this team right now, if you would have told me they'd lose Chris Smith and still be thriving the way that they are, Steve, I'd say you're crazy.
Right.
I mean, I think it's a testament to the job that Mick has done as their head coach, but I also think it speaks to the uncertainty of this season. The fact that we haven't had that UCLA-Oregon matchup, and it's been postponed a couple times right now. This league, at least in my estimation, UCLA is real. SC for me, if you said to me right now who's the team that you think would win in the Pac-12 tournament, I would point to SC because of Mobley. And I think give me the best player. And I know they've had struggles down the stretch, but they have the best front court in my mind in the conference. But there's no way in hell I'm counting out Dana's team. Are you kidding me? Down the stretch, you know, as they get more and more games under their belt. So, you know, Earl, we had talked about this. He likes UCLA, still thinks that they can go and win. But this league right now has got 2, 3, 4 teams, I'll throw Colorado into the mix, that can potentially make some noise. And there's so much uncertainty about how the season continues to unfold that you just got to get there. And, you know, you mentioned Steve Lab, and I saw Lab say this on FS1 the other night. Like, he feels like UCLA has got the makeup where, you know, you could see a deep run. It's going to take luck, and it takes luck for a lot of these teams. But, you know, the power right now on the West Coast isn't in the Pac-12. It's Gonzaga, and it's the Zags in a big way.
Oh, they look like this is the chance for them to finish the deal. But first, like we've been talking about, kind of got to get there first and get through this. I want to get to some NFL. You know, it wasn't that long ago Jared Goff had the Rams in the Super Bowl, got to the second round of the playoffs this year. Now he's in Detroit, and Matt Stafford is in L.A. I'm a great believer in the championship window. If it's open, do everything you can to capitalize.
Yep.
What was your read on this trade, which is a rarity, an NFL blockbuster?
Right? The email alert came through from NFL Network, and I did a double take. I said, whoa, you know, there was some speculation, and a guy that I know who's been on your show a bunch, J.B. Long, who's the voice of the Rams. J.B. and I have talked about this, you know, the last couple months or so, is just sort of this idea of, you know, how happy is that team from an organizational standpoint on top, head coach, general manager with their quarterback. And you kind of read between the lines, right? You read the stories, you watch the games, you see the usage, especially late in the year. And I thought Jared was fine. You know, he's coming off of a hand surgery, guts it out, plays, they win the game. Like, I thought there were some good things there. And to your point, a couple years removed from the damn Super Bowl. So I was surprised, but, you know, do I think Matthew Stafford might fit what McVay wants to do, and is Sean maybe going to be more comfortable with Matthew Stafford, the unknown? Yeah, I think it's abundantly clear they don't pull the trigger on this deal. But if I'm Jared Goff, man, I have to be just so disappointed. This is a California kid, a Northern California kid, but really had some good ties to the LA community when the fires had happened. He'd done really a lot in terms of charity to stay connected with a lot of the families that were affected, and then to go to Detroit. You know, call a spade a spade. You know, they've had some problems the last couple of years in terms of winning football games, but they obviously have a belief. And if I'm not mistaken, there's someone in the front office that was in LA's front office when they drafted Goff number one overall that really was connected to Jared. So I wasn't hugely surprised that Detroit was the move for him, but you know, he's going to be running for his life sometimes in some of these games, and they got to figure out how they're going to tailor an offense that will allow Jared Goff to really thrive in a place that hasn't gotten a lot of wins.
Well, you're very kind, saying the last few years. It's since Bobby Lane in 1957 the Lions have had trouble winning games.
Yeah.
So a couple final thoughts from Mike Yam. We're 48 hours from the Super Bowl. Obviously, big eye on the quarterbacks, the most accomplished ever against the guy who could challenge. But when you think of Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Mahomes, this offense, I mean, the word dazzling, adequate?
Yeah, I think any positive adjective, Steve, that you want to throw towards Mahomes, I'm with you there. Dynamic, just these off-scripted plays. I mean, Steve, I mean, how many guys in our lives watching Sunday football have been able to do some of the things that we're seeing from Mahomes? You know, there's these special moments, and I think what's really cool about it, we've seen athletic quarterbacks, whether it's Lamar Jackson, which is, you know, a contemporary to Mahomes, but go further back, Michael Vick, you know, the things that he was able to do at the quarterback spot, you know, kind of revolutionizing, you know, the sort of the athlete at that spot. But look at the success Mahomes has had. Now, granted, they have so many great pieces around him, but this offense, I mean, it's almost like they've been playing with their opponents this year, knowing that in a flash, you score on us, it's all good. Just give the ball back. We're going to go down. We're going to march downfield, and it's going to be a haymaker throw from Mahomes or some crazy play that you just don't anticipate, or he's going to throw from some ridiculous angle. And you sit there and you go, how did he get the ball off with that velocity and be that accurate when he's not even set? That's what Mahomes has done. The last couple of years, and certainly this season, this is going to be a tall task right now for Tampa Bay. And it, to me, and I get it, a lot around Tom Brady, but if they're going to win, it's all about what Tampa Bay's defense is going to be able to accomplish, because that by far is the biggest reason why this team has had success. I know everyone's going to point to Tom, and from a cultural standpoint, there's no doubt, but this team's defense does not get nearly enough credit, I don't think.
No, that front four, and Levante David, Antoine Winfield with a great rookie season. So I guess just lastly, you kind of alluded to it, but what's your read on the game? I mean, is this one we're going to be talking about forever, and do you have a lean either way?
Yeah, you know, I'm leaning towards Mahomes and the Chiefs because of their explosive offense. You know, I think here's another thing. We talk about it a lot in sports. You know, when you get to a game like this, Steve, you've had a pretty damn good season, and you have a pretty damn good football team, and it's going to come down to some of the little things. And, you know, being around guys like you referenced, like Ronnie Lott, and they talk about those experiences and how different it is. And I've been around enough guys that have played in Super Bowls. Well, they'll reference, hey, how different it is. Now, maybe this year it's a little different because of, you know, the lack of media down there and the circus. I mean, hell, Kansas City, think about this. They're practicing in KC. They're not flying to Tampa until Saturday. I mean, that's like unheard of in the Super Bowl era as we think about it. So I do think there's some nuance there, but most of these guys on this Kansas City roster, they've been here before. They just won this game. They know what it's going to take, and they're not going to be in awe of some of these things. And for as much as everyone's talking about Brady, and I get it because he is the GOAT, most of those guys don't know what this game is actually like. So for that, when it comes down to the little things, the edge to me is Kansas City.
All righty. Well, it's kind of hard to argue. It's one. It's like if somebody took a stance for Mahomes or for Brady, you know, what are you going to do?
You'd be like, okay.
Be adamant about it. But anyway, folks, he's Mike Yam. On Twitter, Mike_Yam, an analyst for the NFL Network, a host on Pac-12 Sirius XM Radio. Mike, as you know, I always appreciate your time. We have a great time chatting and your insight. Glad things are going well for you. So stay safe, stay healthy, and obviously we're in February. As March Madness approaches, expect to hear from me again.
No doubt. You know, I never say no to you. You ask me to come on, and I will always say yes. Stay healthy, my friend. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and looking forward to being on with you real soon.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. Have a good one.